This is Managing Mayhem,
presented by two lawyers and a layman.
Because good intentions are not a legal defense.
This is Managing Mayhem, and I'm Jeff, joined by Patty and Jack. What's going on today?
What's up? This is Managing Mayhem.
The mayhem.
This is it.
Well, we wanted to record yesterday this pod, but Jack was not in attendance.
Yeah, where's Jack? Huh?
Oh, No. I couldn't make it. I had a car issue that I had to take care of. I had to take the car to the shop, and then the shop guy had an issue. So I just kind of like had to help him out a little bit, and that kind of put me behind schedule. So I came home. The shower just kind of broke. I was sick. I got really sick immediately. And then that was kind of it for me that day. Yes, huh? I gave birth to a lizard. What do you guys think? Can't wait to meet your nephew.
I think that this is a perfect segue to today's topic, which is Anita is absent again, addressing excessive absenteeism.
She always is.
I like the giving birth to the lizard. That's going to scar me for a little while.
Yeah, but I did have a dream about that once, and sorry to bring it up, but it did happen in a dream.
Okay. Just keep that in your dream journal, and
I could read more if you want
about it.
I've got it right here.
That's your other podcast.
Anytime anyone says, "Can I tell you about my dream?" you just like start backpedaling.
Yeah.
No. Thank you.
I think it's weirder when you're like talking to someone like, "Hey, you were in my dream."
That is right.
It's like someone who you're not like really that good of friends with.
What was I doing?
I've actually done that a few times, and I had to clarify quickly. Yeah. Like it was a training, or right.
It is so intimate to dream on someone.
Yes.
All right. That's enough of that.
back to Anita. Right. Today we're just going to talk about this general problem when you have that one flaky employee who is just never showing up, and they have all the excuses in the world.
Right.
I mean, this isn't the employee that has a legitimate, serious health issue.
Right.
We're talking about the flake. We're talking about the person that people are betting odds on the over-under on how many absences she's going to miss and if she's coming into work.
We're talking about the constant ghoster at 8 a.m. The employee's constantly ghosting their employer.
Yeah, and the best part is they always have like a new relative. Oh, what's my grandma? Well, I thought your grandma passed away last week. What's my other grandma?
Oh, she has about four sets of grandmas.
Well, it's my friend's mom, but she's pretty much my mother. And she died as well.
Yeah. I envision Anita's supervisor with like Ancestry.com with her chain of the family tree on Anita having 17 grandparents.
Yeah, the supervisor's like, you guys, she has a very extensive family, each one equally important to her.
And they came over on the Mayflower.
Can you believe it? We can trace
them
back.
And they just died.
But still, the roots go deep. She needs the day off.
I think you can kind of tell when the person is lying. I hate to use that very strong word. But when they overshare like Jack did in his intro.
Right.
They give you 400 reasons.
Right. It's almost like they're trying to find the valuable excuse. And so they're rattling them off to see if you'll respond, which one you're going to respond to. They're like, are they nodding it? No, not that, not that. It's just like the hole gets deeper and deeper.
Yep.
And then there's the employee that says, hey, you know, I'm all out of sick time, vacation, PTO, but hey, just don't pay me. I'm not coming in today, you know.
No worries, no problems. You don't have to pay me. I'm not going to come in today. Not a big deal.
I won't be gracing you with my presence. And quite frankly, I don't need the money. I don't even need this job. It's like, okay, what?
Way to insult everybody.
Well, obviously, you know, when we look at the problems that this creates, that's the first one, right? They're not at work to do work.
Right.
Company performance is just taking a hit because you're missing people. You're a man down.
Right. Yeah. Projects aren't getting done. Customer service suffers. You have to reschedule meetings. I mean, the whole like, you won't miss me. Well, it's usually a team effort.
Yeah. It's hard to get everyone on even on the same page. Like, we have this meeting and now we're all trying to do this together, but someone keeps not being there. You have to keep filling them in. It's just a waste of time even.
And I think also morale takes a hit because
absolutely,
obviously other employees, I'm sorry, they're going to be ticked off. They resent the employee because not one time, but if they, you know, they're like Anita, they're chronically absent. I mean, they're having to shoulder her workload.
Yes.
Right. It's the classic, like, you know, when they do it the first time, like, yeah, no problem. I'll cover for you. I'll handle whatever you got going. Not a big deal. Take care of yourself and your family, whatever you have to do. And then five times later, it's like, what the heck?
I'm constantly covering for Anita, and now I'm her personal assistant.
Right. That's what it feels like.
Suddenly there's a dog pile on Anita.
Yeah.
And it's just frustrating.
Well, Anita puts a dog pile on others.
Wait, yes, exactly. That's exactly.
Anita sympathizer.
Yeah.
But I haven't felt that way. I worked at this restaurant and there was this guy who our bosses were really aware that he was out partying a lot. He was kind of in like that scene, and then he would miss and they would just be like, yeah, well, we're out, so your section's doubled. Everyone's section just had to take over more and more tables.
Right.
And I just would start to feel so flippin' frustrated.
Yeah. Well, because it's selfish.
I just have so much more work. And I, anyway, sorry. Sorry to vent about that. I had to get off my chest.
Do you feel better?
Still not over it.
Feel okay?
I need to lie down.
But I mean, that feeling is where a lot of coworkers feel this frustration. And then it's kind of doubled when, like you said, when the boss, when they allow it to happen.
Right.
They're not disciplining the person. They're not holding that person accountable and say, no, actually you have to come in or you're going to get disciplined or fired. They're just letting it happen.
Right. And I think a lot of times supervisors think, well, you know, it's their personal life. And I mean, they have 30 dogs and they have 500 relatives. I mean, there's nothing I can do. Yeah. Their boyfriends break up with them a lot. Right. You know what I mean? So I think it's, you know, out of bounds for me.
They just can't hold down a relationship.
Anita just cannot hold one down, and we want her to.
If she's on 5 Tinder dates today, missing work, I don't care. I'm rooting for her.
Right. Yeah.
So what do you do about the Anitas of the world? Because I hate them.
I need a break from Anita.
Good one, Jeff.
Oh, God.
I think the first thing you have to do is differentiate between what is a protected leave, you know, protected time off versus non-protected. So what I mean by that is that there's certain people that if they're on jury duty, military leave, family medical leave, they have a disability and needs accommodation. Some leaves are protected. They still have to follow call-in procedures and get approval. So that's the first thing we look at.
Right. And then you look at just non-protective leave is just they just have an excuse that doesn't fit into one of those categories. Therefore, it's not protected by law.
It's the tough luck category. You know?
Sorry. I mean, use your sick time, use your PTO, but it's not protected. So, you know, we can discipline or move on that if we need to.
Okay, so certain things protected, certain things aren't.
Right.
Right.
And the reason I mentioned the protected leaves is because when we talk about the crunch on staff is that you do need to accommodate people. Let's say pregnancy complications or someone's on pregnancy leave. Yeah. So when you have Anita flaking all the time, it's basically really short-staffing you. And
And it's impacting everybody else's lives, whether or not they're vocal about the extra stuff they're shouldering.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The tricky part is, what usually happens, and we kind of alluded to it when we're talking about some of Anita's excuses, but the flaky employee, they typically will be pretty gray about their excuses. They'll allude to medical problems.
If they're savvy, if they're not like, the dog ate my homework. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
They're going to allude to some sort of medical issue or a family medical emergency that they had to handle and take someone to the hospital.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They have anxiety in the morning, and that's why they're, they wake up and they just need to sleep 4 more hours or something like that.
Right.
And that's where it gets really gray because it's touching on specifically medical, which the ADA or FMLA may be triggered.
Right.
Yeah, like makes it sound like it's close to something enough that it may perk your ears up like, oh, is this protected? They're saying they have anxiety. They say they have this. But if they don't, how do you get confirmation that they actually have those things?
Well, that is where you will contact HR and say, this is what they mentioned, and HR should trigger FMLA, which is family medical leave paperwork, or ADA paperwork if the person has a potential disability, or you ask for doctor's verification of illness. The point is they're going to need to give you medical documentation to support the HR, to support that absence. And if they don't, it's an unexcused absence.
Right.
Well, the one thing I will say for managers is even if you think the person's lying to you, because Patty and I can both say we've had
a lot of liar, liar, pats on fire.
Right. And you go to terminate the person or discipline them for absenteeism, and they're like, well, oh, but I have a medical condition. And you may think that's BS, but you still have to go through the process and the procedure of giving them the paperwork, giving them time to get a doctor's note, to fill it out. A lot of times, if they're lying, and you may be right, they're not going to be able to produce it. And then you go to the, you know, progressive discipline, wherever you're at.
And the thing is that it's unfair if they're lying for the people who actually have conditions that need ADA accommodations or need
and are providing the documentation.
Right. I mean, we want to honor that. Those are important leave laws to protect people. So what we want to do is ferret out the, and I don't mean with a ferret.
Which would be helpful. It would be helpful.
We want to ferret out whether it's false or if it's true. So, but Jeff's right. We have to get that documentation. But yeah, if they don't give it to you, you can retroactively say those are all unexcused, unscheduled absences.
So the proof is in the paperwork.
The proof is in the pudding. Yeah.
Why is there proof in the pudding? I don't get that.
I thought it was proof in the pudding, like P-U-T-T-I-N-G. Like you're putting it.
I always thought it was pudding, like chocolate pudding.
I thought it was pudding too. I thought it was the food.
It might not be.
The proof is in the tapioca.
Yeah. You'll find the truth in the fudge pudding.
But the reality is, if they don't have it, and if they're lying, they won't be able to produce documentation.
Right.
They will. That's the reality. So.
Yeah.
Also, I have to say that I was so wrong. It is putting P-U-D-D-I-N-G.
It's just saying that.
Okay, the effectiveness or success of something can be determined by putting it to the test, just as the best test of a pudding is to eat it.
Okay.
That's a fun fact.
Makes sense. It's like a but kind of like specific, like a pudding competition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do we stop the Anitas of the world?
Well, I think as long as we have jobs, we're going to have Anitas of the world.
We're
going to
have Anitas. Yeah. You're not going to avoid it.
Okay.
You know, as a first step, you need a policy, an attendance policy that says what excessive absenteeism is. Now, some companies like to keep it pretty general, which I get, you know, kind of the gut feeling like a pattern. Others are very strict, right, Jeff, about points and like,
Some have complex systems with points and a specific number of days within a specific time period, which I like kind of the happy medium ground where you have a number of days within a certain period of time, but it's going to depend on your company and depend on your needs.
Yeah, you're running the daily press. You know, you need people every day. It's the daily press. You got to get the papers out.
Right.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. If I'm having surgery, I don't want like a lot of people calling in sick who are supposed to be around helping me with the surgery.
Yeah, we got the B team in your operating room.
Your surgeon's proverbial grandmother died. So we actually brought in Dan.
He's not a true surgeon in the definition of surgeon.
Dan is not have the most experience, but he does have a lot of energy. So we're going to let him take a whack at this one.
Yeah. I mean, it, obviously you want to, I can't even segue. It's too funny.
Dan is my son. He's 9, but he is he's in the gifted program.
Small hands.
His tiny hands. Stop. You can get right in between your spinal cord and your ribs. Okay.
So the one other problem with setting strict number of absences and points is that it does handcuff the employer. So if you set it as 12 absences in 6 months and someone's just keeping a little chart, oh, I get 3 more, I get 4 more.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
Well, that's what you do in high school.
This is what you do in high school when you're like, I get 9 absences a semester, right?
The difference between school, though, and work, unless you're working on some school project or you're on a team, is that the absences at work, going back to it, it does affect the team.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. It's like a team versus just an individual experience of something.
The other thing I would do is make sure when someone's calling in, you're actually writing down the reasons they give you.
Yes.
Because I have defended clients when they've later said, oh, it was a disability or medical condition. And I love it when we have the text message screenshots of like, my boyfriend broke up with me and I can't bathe today.
Right.
Right.
But if you have those documented, then you're able to defend that it's not a protected leave.
Yeah, when you go to write them up, you have all that documentation, and then you need to line out for them, hey, you can't have any other absences within a certain period of time, 90 days, except for any that are protected leaves, right? Like we've talked about ADA, FMLA, jury duty. All of a sudden, they have a lot of jury duty. you're not going to believe how many juries I'm on this year.
Extremely valuable to society.
The other thing, Jeff, is that I find that some people in their discipline say, well, you can only have reasonable absences. No, you can't have any more absences unless it's a protected leave. Or you could say, or with a doctor's note, verifying the absence, whatever you want to do.
Right.
Okay, so what happens if a supervisor is just overly sympathetic or empathetic towards someone's excuses and they just like immediately trust people?
I think there are two camps. There's some supervisors who don't believe anything the employee says and some that believe everything, that are very sympathetic, sometimes gullible to an abusive Anita. I think it's totally reasonable to say, I understand and I empathize with you that you're having personal problems, but that needs to stay outside of work. If you need a leave of absence, you can request it, or we have employee assistance programs. But we do have an attendance policy and we do rely on you.
Right. The other thing I'd say is, when you're looking at your PTO policy or your sick and vacation policy, just because they have it doesn't mean that they're automatically going to receive it. A lot of people see, oh, I have one new day in my bank and I'm sick.
Yeah.
You know, they come up and it's a hardship on the company. And you can actually deny those requests if they're not protective leaves.
Right. Just because they give you the time, most people should have in their policy that unscheduled, excessive unscheduled calling ins, even if you are sick, at some point it's a hardship on the business. And unless you need FMLA leave, you may have to separate employment. The last thing I would advise is, and maybe it sounds shady, but if you're friends with them on Facebook or Instagram, check it out to
report
see if
them.
See what Anita's actually doing on the days that she's calling in. Does she have the Monday, Friday ski goggle tan?
Right.
That is a real, I remember when people came back, I was like, that is such a cool tan. You had a great weekend.
And they had a doctor's note.
The reality is, as we said, the Anitas of the world, and if your name is actually Anita, we're not talking about you. It's just a...
turning you into Karens.
Right. But they are out there, and they're going to be out there forever, right? I mean, that's going to be an ongoing issue, but have some policies, have some structure, and document it, as Patty said. Just document all those excuses. And if not, it'll be entertaining, and it'll help you out with their Ancestry.com family tree you have in your office.
Yeah, you're actually like, I found other people.
Right. I found the lost Roanoke colony.
Yeah, okay.
I also think you need to be, I don't know what you're talking about.
Someone does.
That's really good.
But be strong. Don't be gullible. Don't let them abuse you, because you're going to lose good staff who are shouldering their excessive abuse.
And you can ask questions. And when they talk about medical, don't just brush it off. Go to HR. They're your wingman.
Yeah.
This is all good parenting advice as well.
I want to know, what's Roanoke? Tell me later.
Yeah, we'll tell you about it.
Tell you about it later.
So Anita's in trouble.
Anita's in trouble, but you're okay.
But I have to go. I'm sorry. My other mother, who's my friend's mom, she's in the hospital. I gotta go take her to the hospital or something.
Yeah, that's okay. My dad's nephew's niece's friend has a sick animal that I have to watch for 6 hours. Okay,
goodbye, guys.
So,
this is so real for me.
Have a mayhem-free
life.
Please have an excessive absenteeism-free week. Wow, that's a
bingo.
Goodbye.
That's a bingo.
Have a great week.
Have a great week.
Bye.
Bye.
Managing Mayhem is presented by Management Northwest and Management Southwest and cannot be copied or rebroadcast without prior written consent. By listening to this podcast, you understand that we, or at least two of us, are lawyers, but we are not your lawyers. Therefore, nothing we say on the podcast should be taken as legal advice or considered to create an attorney-client relationship. It is solely meant for your educational and informational purposes. The podcast should not be used as a substitute for legal advice from an attorney licensed in your state. Please be aware that listening to lawyers can cause side effects such as migraines, self-doubt, and also maybe cure insomnia. But you know what? Trust your own judgment, or you're not your mom.